Sorry about that. Perikes, we're not perikes last week. Perikes. Okay. Basically, what we learned last week was, just to review, it was an entire essay about the kruvim, the positioning of the kruvim. The Gemara deals with an apparent contradiction. In one account of the Beis HaMikdash, the temple of Shlomo HaMelech, it says, Ufnehem ish elochiv, that the kruvim were facing each other in an embrace. And in another verse, okay, basically what we learned last week was, just to review, it was an entire essay about the kruvim, the positioning of the kruvim. The Gemara deals with an apparent contradiction. In one account of the Beis HaMikdash, the temple of Shlomo HaMelech, it says, Ufnehem ish elochiv, that the kruvim were facing each other in an embrace. And in another verse, the verse in Malachim, it says that they were facing away from each other. Pnehem el habayis. They were facing away from each other to the walls. So the Gemara has a resolution to this apparent contradiction and says, one of them is Bizman Shi Yisrael Osim Ritzono Shel Makom. One of them is when the Jewish people are performing the divine will, then they are in an embrace. And the other one, the description, Ufnehem el habayis, where they were facing away from each other, that is Bizman She'enom Osim Ritzono Shel Makom. That's when they are not doing the divine will, and so that there is a problem, and therefore they face away from each other. So his basic intention, the Nefesh HaChayim, had a basic problem with that. And he also had a problem with another Gemara, because there's a machlokas, a very famous machlokas between Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Yishmael about the proper attitude and the proper behavioral patterns of Jews. Famous machlokas is that Rabbi Yishmael says that there's a time to learn and a time to work. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says if you're gonna work when it's a time to work, what's gonna happen to the Torah? But a person should really only learn. And that was to explain another apparent contradiction. It says, V'yosafto digonecha, that one has to bring in the sheaves, you've got to do work. And then it also says that lo yomor sefer Torah zemipicha, that you're never allowed to not be learning. So that was the resolution of Rabbi Yishmael and of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It said that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, when does it say v'yosafto digonecha? When do you have to work? That's bizman she'enam osim ritzono shel makom. When is it lo yom sefer Torah zemipicha? That's when you are doing ritzono shel makom. So his basic problem was, but that's listed in the parasha of Hayom Shamoa Tishmuel mitzvasei Hashem Elokim mitzvei Eschem Hayom. So obviously it's good. It can't be se'enam osim ritzono shel makom. That's as a result of osim ritzono shel makom. So that he developed a theory which was a machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, where they agreed on one level, but they disagreed on a different level, which is that Rabbi Yishmael says that all of the verses are dealing with the majority of people. The majority of people to be doing with Tzono Shel Makom is that they are engaged in Parnasa and they are engaged in learning. For Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the ultimate is for a person to be engaged only in learning, and even though the Hamonam, the majority of the people will never be able to actualize that, it doesn't mean that it is the absolute paradigm of Jewish living. However, the Chiddush, we just must review all of this because what he's about to say is all, and next two chapters are tied in with this theory. Which, by the way, if you remember, it was only brought in because of the basic theory of this entire gate, this entire shahr, which is that whatever the Jewish people do, there is an opposite and equal reaction from God. The way that God manifests or reveals himself in this world is really a mirrored image of the way the Jewish people behave. That's the basic thesis. And then there are various other peripheral theories that come from that basic principle. So that according to Rabbi Yishmael, the chidush, the tremendous novelty of of the Nefesh HaChaim of Chaim Balazhan was that even when a person is engaged in work, if their mind is that I should be learning, I will be learning, as soon as I finish what I'm going to do, I'm going to excel in what I do. And when I'm doing it to the best of my ability. But I know that really, basically, deep down, what I'd like to be doing is learning, so that that person can be Mekayim Talmud Torah even when they're at work. That was the basic Chiddush of the Nefesh HaChaim. And that's how he explained the various positions of the Kruvim. In the time of Shlomo HaMelech, when people were engaged in work, it was not Pneihem Ishel Achiv, which we, of course, without getting, you can't get the whole thing. The Gemara said it was Litzdude, it was a machlokas, exactly what it was, one of them, but the basic outcome of the Gemara was that really the actual position of the Kruvim was that they were facing each other and they were facing away from each other at the same time. They were Litzdude. They were faced sideways. So, having said all of that, and if a person never learned it, it's not clear, but so be it. Maybe it will become clear as he continues. So now we can begin Perektes. So he says, V'hinei dor ha-midbar, she-zachu li-hiyos me-ochle shulchan gavoa, the generation that left the land of Egypt, and they wandered in the desert, or they lived in the desert for 40 years. They merited being a group of people who ate from God's table, as it were, which is lechem min hashamayim, dvar yom miyomo. They ate bread from the heaven each and every day. As the Gemara says, what bracha did they make on the man? They said, hamotzi lechem min hashamayim. That was the bracha that you made on the man. So literally, it was understood that it was lechem abirim. It was the bread of the mighty. It was the bread of the heavens. The simlo sam lo valsa me'alehem. And their clothes never wore out. V'lo hayu tzrichim l'shem esek. And they really needed no profession because everything was done for them. Everybody would agree, says Rav Chaim Balazhan. Both Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, certainly, and even Rabbi Yishmael would have to agree that in a period where there was no reason whatsoever for a person to divert his attention from God, if they would divert their attention from God, that would be tantamount, equal to einam osim ritzon shel makom, not doing what God wants. Because the point is that God said, what do you need except for me? Nothing. There's no reason. There's no excuse. U'mishabdim es libam rak la Torah va'avoda, and they would strengthen themselves, and they would dedicate their hearts only for Torah and the service of God, the Yoreso Yisparach Shemo, and the fear of the Blessed One. Yomam v'layla lo yomash mipiyam, day and night it would never ever leave their lips, their mouths. Dvarim kichsavan mamash. In other words, literally, lo yomushu sefer Torah hazeh mipicha. Period. If one can imagine. B'li netos el hatzad klal. Not leaning at all away from it, no deviation. Afshar kala la'esek parnasa, even a small amount la'esek parnasa for any kind of about hobbies, I don't know, but certainly about work, for sure. Kima amaram zal, as the rabbis say in the Medrash Halacha, lo nitna Torah ela la'ochlei mon. Now he's going to interpret this his own way. Usually we understand lo nitna Torah ela la'ochlei hamon was that the Torah could only be given to people on that high level, that they were the ones who were eating the manna. In other words, you needed a group of people on a very, very high level. That's the usual interpretation. He goes one step beyond that, and he says, "Lo nitna Torah ela ochlei man," that the Torah can only be given to those who had no other thing. Their whole raison d'etre, their whole life, could be dedicated to the Torah. In other words, you can only give the Torah initially to people who would accept it fully, in a wholesome fashion. The full acceptance of the Torah is dependent upon how much can you do. And they were the only ones who were able to dedicate themselves totally without any deviation. So in other words, just the Saber Esa Ozen, if God would want to give the Torah now, that would be a pretty bad idea, because we couldn't dedicate ourselves to the Torah totally. So that's the idea of giving it then. L'chein ha'emidu oz es ha'kruvim l'fi masha ha'yu osim v'sonu shamakam. P'neihem ish elochiv mamash. That's why in the Torah it says, ufneihem ish elochiv. Because in that generation, there would be no other position possible for the kruvim. Because people were doing v'sonu shamakam par excellence, because there would be, everybody would be doing it. It wouldn't be like Rabbi Yishmael said, well, the majority of people are going to have to find Parnassa, and there's only the elite group, the small group of dedicated people who are able to constantly learn Torah. Everybody in the time of the Midbar were able to learn Torah, and everybody was exactly the same. So that became the absolute Osin Ritzono Shomakam, and therefore the placement of the Kruvim, the Sharbs were facing each other. L'haros ki yosha yechezu fonemo yisborach, to show, now again, this is also what we've explained, that the two Kruvim, one of them represented God, it was a semel, it was a symbol of God, Kaviyacho, and the other was a symbol of Knesset Yisrael, of the Jewish people. So that when they were in accord, so then the Jewish people metaphorically could look God straight in the face. Therefore, that's why the placement of the Kruvim was face to face. Laharoski Yosho Yechazu Fonemo Yisbrach, to show that they were able to look straight in God's face, Kaviyacho, Ponim Beponim, Im Am Kadosho, so that God could look at the Jews and not turn away, and the Jewish people could look at God and not turn away in embarrassment. That's what happened. That was a special, special time. Omnam bibe Shlomo shayu klal hamon Yisrael tzrichim umuchrochim lintos ma'at el atzad le'esek ha'parnasa. It was a different period of time, and even though it was a period of great wealth, great prosperity for the Jewish people, but still you had to make a living. It wasn't going to come to you. Even though it says v'akesav lo nechshav l'me'uma, that silver wasn't, but it didn't mean that it was in the streets. You had to work for it. Al kol ponim kidei chaye nefesh, but people only worked to exist. Shezeh ikar amitas ritzono yisbarach v'das Rabbi Yishmael the sovah de la rabim tfei ovich l'mevar hochi. That's the position of Rabbi Yishmael, that what God really wants is, you make a living. But all of the additional time that you have, all of the time that you have over and above that, I want you to dedicate to Torah and Avoda, because that's the better position. So leintzich for the rabbim, it's a better position for the rabbim, for the majority of the people. Ukamosha amru ba'avos, and as you have the dictum in Maseches Avos, in the Ethics, yofet hamat Torah im derech eretz, right? That it's good, it's yofet, it's pretty, it's nice. Not that it's nevuch. Yafeh, it's nice. That's how it should be. Also, the chol Torah she'eini ma malacha sofa b'teila, and you can't have Torah without a profession. The chol milei de avos milei de chasidus ninhu, and whatever you find in Pirkei Avos, all of that is on the highest level. It's not a last resort. It's the first resort. It's milei de chasidus. It's the behavior that's above reproach. Rock. But as we said before, even Rabbi Yishmael would agree, you can never have a time that you're not at least involved in a holy pursuit. If not thinking about Divrei Torah, or certainly wanting to be involved in Divrei Torah. Or as Hirsch said, just to show a different system, that if you realize that what you're doing is a different expression of Torah, well then you're involved in Torah when you're doing that. So he says that if a person is a physician, and as they do the work, they realize this is an incredible, incredible body that God created, and it's incredible wisdom that God gave to man to be able to deal with the body and heal the body. That's Torah. If a person's a physicist and they say, wow, the laws of nature are incredible that God created, that's also Torah. No matter what a person does, it's Torah. If you're a psychologist, and then you say, wow, what an incredible mind that God gave man, and he screwed it up, but we can straighten it out. Or if you're involved in anything you're involved in, inventing, things like that, whatever a person does, it's all Torah, as far as Rabbi Hirsch is concerned. But the point is, you see that in different systems, certainly the systems that developed after the Industrial Revolution in the 18th and the 19th centuries, you see this motif in different forms. And Hasidus has its own form, that whatever a person does, no matter where a person is, one can be involved in a holy pursuit and not only a mundane pursuit. That's the basic thesis that develops here in this century, in the 1800s. Only because tilling the land was not a good, the profession that they had took a good deal of concentration, a good deal of training, mm-hmm. That's when these theories were developed. When I say theories developed, I mean to say they were showing that with the changing time, a person can still adapt, and that the main thrust of the person's life is never to forget God. It happens to be a major, major idea. So that there's never a cleavage. There's never, in other words, you never need to be without being mindful of the spiritual dimension, that there's spirit in everything.
This is what Chaim was.
Yes.
And also what Shimshon Raphael Hirsch.
In a different context. In a different context. The whole theory of Torah im derech eretz is that Torah im derech eretz is that derech eretz is Torah. And Rav Chaim Volozhin also says that, not that anything else but Torah is Torah, but that if a person is involved in the pursuit of a livelihood or a profession, and if the person's intention is that Torah really is the main thing, and I'm doing this, and I'm going to get back to the Torah when I'm finished with it, even if a person will excel in it. In other words, one does not need to denigrate what one does and say, well, there's Torah and nothing else, but no matter what you're doing, you can introduce that notion of Torah. Either like he says, "Noheg b'chachma b'hiru divrei Torah," which is again, I'm using the definition of Rabbi Eliyahu Dessler in his commentary, Michtav Me'Eliyahu, which just happens to bring this particular theory. There are other ways of dealing with the theory. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta had his own version of what this means in the Nefesh HaChaim. This is a major, major theory of the Nefesh HaChaim, and a very, very strong influence throughout the 18 and 1900s. But the basic idea, at least I think the one that works the best, is where you really want to, what you really want to be doing, if not doing what you're doing, is Torah. So then what you're doing now is also a holy pursuit. In other words, because you're doing it for noble reason, but not that Torah becomes the stepdaughter.
Also by the way you behave in what you're doing.
I think that for him goes without saying, that's not something he would even have to want to discuss, that if a person is not a mensch, then you're violating the Torah. This goes beyond violating the Torah. These are philosophical underpinnings. To be honest in business and all of these things, that was axiomatic. They said, look at the Shulchan Aruch. He's assuming that you learned the Shulchan Aruch and you followed the Shulchan Aruch before you're reading his book. It's an assumption that all of the rabbis made, correct or incorrect. That was the assumption they made. What are you doing reading this book if you haven't finished the Shulchan Aruch yet? So, right, I'm assuming everybody here also, like, finished the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so the idea is, l'chein ha'emidu oz b'tchila es ha'kruvim l'mifi ma'sheyiyu osim esono shamakom, p'neihem mitzu dodim ma'at. That's what the rabbi who says at the resolution, again, follows Shulchan Aruch before reading his book. It's an assumption that all of the rabbis made, correct or incorrect. That was the assumption they made. What are you doing reading this book if you haven't finished the Shulchan Aruch yet? So, right, I'm assuming everybody here also, like, okay. So the idea is, l'chein ha'emidu oz b'tchila es ha'kruvim l'mifi ma'sheyiyu osim esono shamakom, p'neihem mitzu dodim ma'at. That's what the rabbi who says at the resolution, again, there's a problem. In Divrei Hayomim, the account of the temple of Shlomo is, ufneihem el habayis, they were facing away from each other. In the same account, in Malachim, it says, ufneihem ish elochiv. So that's the apparent contradiction, to which one of the rabbis in Baba Basra answered that really they're both true, but they were mitzu dadim, stude at stude. They were to the side. In other words, they were facing a little bit away, a little bit towards. So he says that's why, in actuality, pnehem mitzu dadim ma'at. V'im kol zeh hayuma urim kama'ar ish v'loyos, bifonim shel chiba, laharos chiba soyis porach etzlenu, she's a ikar etzoni yisporach kanal. In other words, that is the theory of Rabbi Yishmael. And we paskan like Rabbi Yishmael. The majority of you is like Rabbi Yishmael. Harbei asu ki Rabbi Yishmael v'olsu b'yadam. Harbei asu ki Rabbi Shimon v'yokai v'lo olsu b'yadam. So the law was established like Rabbi Yishmael. So in other words, the rabbi who says that the resolution was tzudei at tzudei, that to put them to the side, he had the same theory as Rabbi Yishmael. What was that theory? Optimally, what God wants for the majority of time, for the majority of people in the normal conditions, is pursue a profession and learn Torah. So you can face me. I love you. You're doing Ritzono Shamakam. This is what I want. This is good. If I had my choice, this is what I would choose. This is what I want you to do. Under extraordinary circumstances, when I take care of all of your needs, like the Dor HaMidbar, well, then you shouldn't be doing that. But under normal circumstances, this is what I want. This is beautiful. This is wonderful. However, just a small turn to the side to show that this isn't, that's not your fault. It's not a matter of fault here. It's not a matter of negativity. This is a matter of how the world was made. You have to make a living. This is b'zeas apecha toch alechem. This is how the world is. And then in parentheses, v'sorah k'rabi Yishmael, u'man d'omar shekam k'ruv b'k'ruvei shlomo ha'emidum t'chilu l'fi masha yuv'osim shalom shalom p'nehim ish alachiv mamash. So the Karajbi, the rabbi, said first they put them together, and they just turned the crew turned away on their own. So he would say that the theory is like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, so it wasn't so great. Now, okay, so we've taken care of that matter, small matter. But there's still a matter that needs to be attended to. Understood that they were facing each other, but a little bit to the side to show this was not the optimum. But why did both of them have to be to the side? Only the one that represented God doesn't have to move. God didn't do anything wrong. God is always optimal. So God should always be facing straight. It's only the crew of the cherub that represents the Jewish people, they had a slight deviation. Only one of them should be to the side, not both of them.
Did you say before that when Israel turns away from Hashem turns away also?
Well, that's what we're about to say. I didn't say that. You're just so brilliant that you figured that out on your own. Yeah, maybe I did.
Hashem manifests himself in the world is a reflection of how the Jews behave.
Yeah, so I said that as the basic thesis of the book. So he says, that's what he's going to answer. Halo hakruv ho echad shel ramaz olav yisparach shmo hayutzrichim lahamido yashar mamash. The one that represents God should have been straight, and everybody else just a little bit to the side. Omnam ha'inyan k'mokosh ha'savnu. So this is the matter that we have been discussing all along. Shehischabruso yisparach kiviyachol l'ha'olamos v'akachos kulam v'chol sidrehem v'hiskashrusam. Now here you have again, and it has to be stressed, maybe not understood, but it certainly has to be pointed out, which is that in this scheme of things, the absolute essence of the divinity is not revealed in any way, shape, or form to man, and therefore is beyond our speculation and beyond our discussion. The absolute essence of God is nothing that man can discuss, will discuss, should discuss. All discussion is meaningless. Malom picha miladaber. This is the Ein Sof. This is something that is beyond the human ken. Beyond. We just know that there's something beyond. More like the Rambam's negative attributes. We know what it's not. It's not anything that we can discuss, comprehend, or in any way have an analog to. What we speak about when we speak about divinity, we speak about what is revealed through the universe. On the very highest level, what's revealed in the universe also takes up all of man's brain, and then some. But the point is, everything is revealed through creation. And creation for him is the entire scheme of the first replication of the Godhead, which is the Adam HaKadmon, the Shiur Koma, as it, in myriad of endless, infinite replications, comes down to this world. However, that part of the Godhead, we can call it the Godhead, that we talk about, and we speak about it in terms of its relationship to the universe, which is Hischabruso Yisparach Kivyachol Ha'olamos V'Hakachos Kulam, God's relationship to the universes, the worlds, and all of the forces in them, V'Chol Sidrehem V'Hiskashrusam, and their order and their relationship, and all of God's character aspect, or the character or the personality profile with us, who kefi shiur hatnua v'ha'hisorus hamagia aleihem mimaaseinu lemata. All of that has to do with the movement, the positive movement, the positive energy that reaches from on low. In other words, we are the ones that energize the universe. Whatever reaches on up comes back down, and it comes back down the way that it has been hit up on high. If it's something which is very, very positive, something which is spiritual energy, so then there is a dynamic reciprocal relationship where what we see here is in the form of panim sochakosum uzboros, which means something that we would call God is happy with us, meaning positive developments. Lochein gam hakruv sheramaz olav yisparach shemo hayugam kein tzrichim lahamido mitzudad ma'at kifishir hatzidut shelakruv sheramaz olenu mizahatam. Because you can't, it's never that way, that God's one way, we're a different way. What we call God, or when we speak of God, when we speak about God's reaction, God reacts to us. We act and God reacts. And that's why the other kruv had to be exactly the same way that the people were. So now, in the Haggah, you have the Haggah? Va'al pize yuvan ma'amaram. And through this explanation, now we can understand a very enigmatic passage in the Talmud Shabbat, the Peches Amin Aleph, where it says the following, Omar Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina, my dichsiv, now this is a verse in Shir HaShirim, keep in mind, Shir HaShirim, according to the Gemara, and certainly according to the Mekubalim, is exactly this, the relationship between God and Knesset Yisrael. And there is a pasuk that says, Kitapuach ba'atzei ha'ya'ar. Kitapkein dodi ben habonim. That's the verse. The verse is, as is the tapuach in the forest, so is my beloved among the children. That's the verse. So the Gemara says, Lama nimshli Yisrael tapuach. Why are the Jewish people compared to the apple? Just by the way, Tosfos says it means the esrog, as you're going to see momentarily. So anyway, the hikshu tosfos shum. So the tosfos over there asks, not the one about the esrog, the tosfos asks over there. Anyway, how's the Gemara? Let me just tell you the Gemara. Gemara says, just like the tapuach, the fruit comes before the leaves, so too B'nai Yisrael said na'aseh before nishma. That's that Gemara there with Kabbalah Satorah. Just right, just as the, so that's what Tosva says. What are you talking about? Look at any apple. First come the leaves, then comes the apple. So, you know, it means the esrog. It's the esrog. And it brings another proof that the esrog is called tapuach. The esrog always is that way because the fruit's on the chador al ha'etz mishana l'shana. The fruit is always there, and then the leaves come. Whatever. But the point is, Tosva is asking a more basic question for his purposes, which is, Daha b'hai kro lo Yisrael nimshalu l'tapuach el ha'kadosh baruch hu. That you know that all of the this kind of literature, all of the verses are in hakpala and parallelism. So the first part of the verse and the second part of the verse always say the same thing, but in different prose, different images. So Tosfos says, how can you say the Jewish people are compared to the apple? It's not even talking about the Jewish people, it's talking about God. Right? Like the apple in the forest, so is my beloved among the children. That's how God is among his children, among the Jews. It's talking about God, it's not talking about Jew people. And Tosfos leaves it with a tzarachi, and Tosfos has no answer. So he says, Ulufi mashe kosafta yisyashev be'ezras Hashem. According to what we just said, it's answered. Ki achar she Yisrael hisiguhu, v'him shiluhu, yizborach shmo b'dimyon hatapuach. Since the Jewish people were able to conceive of God, and they were able to show the analogy or the metaphor of God to the fruit of the apple, vadaihu mechamashi Yisrael nimshalim mishlamim b'maaseh min hatapuach. In other words, if God's revelation, if God revealed himself in that particular manner of doing something, giving the abundance before something else, or whatever it means God appeared that way only because the Jewish people lived that way. If the Jewish people lived that way, so that's how God reacted. The way that we appear to God, that's how God appears to us. This happens to be an incredibly deep concept, aside from the fact that it answers all the questions that he has. But the idea is, we constantly see just in terms of history, that people understand God in different ways. An example. If you look at the rabbinic discussion of God, a certain imagery appears about God, which is an imagery which is done away with in the Middle Ages. If you look at how God is described in Sadi Gaon, and then you look at how God is described in Mor Nevuchim in the Rambam, two different gods emerge, up to the point that of Avraham Ibn Duad had to say, when the Rambam makes a comment that whoever says that God has no form, that God is corporeal, you know, he's a min. The point is that you'll see there's a certain zeitgeist. You'll see that there is a certain spirit of an era in which people live that tinctures their vision of God. And what he's saying is, well, how did that happen? Well, what is God? So what he's saying is, it depends how you are. That's how you're going to see God. So if right now, most Orthodox Jews who read certain things about God, so they'll have this Kantian existential feeling of God, that God is a combination of the Kantian Kierkegaardian God, well, that's because that's what you are. You're a philosophical schizophrenic. The point is, what he's saying is, this accounts for different ways of seeing God. But if you're a monotheist, depending on how you're living, that's how you're going to see God. So if you have a God of extreme tolerance, I'm close with God, you know, and it's okay, I can do whatever I do, and God and me are like this, it's because ain't hachinami. That's how you're living. That's how God appears to you. It's not me, it's him. It's he.
I mean, so there are other religions, monotheistic religions, that believe God is represented in other ways, and that's how God relates back to them.
He would answer and say this, that God does not deal with them specifically because divine providence is generalized for the nations of the world. He would be very exclusive or exclusionary in terms of how he would understand that. Because for him, it's axiomatic, which is really, you will not find any deviation, which is that Hashgacha Pratit, that the special divine providence, which was once afforded to all of mankind, was lost over the first 2,000 years where people denied God and they didn't want his providence. And it was picked up by Avraham and his descendants. And it's afforded to every person who puts himself, or casts himself in that light, which is to become a Jew. So that there is no Hashgacha Pratit. This is all a matter of special providence, of personal providence between God and a people. So it cannot be, you cannot discuss it in terms of anybody else. In other words, everything comes through the Jewish people. This happens to be the Shita of, well before him, this is the Shita of the Ramban and of others. That everything comes to the nations of the world through the Jewish people. God says, okay, I'll bless this, the Jewish people, and then it just spreads out. Therefore, he says, the Lachain, for Eis Kriyas Yamsuf, Omar Hu Yisparach L'Moshe. When the Red Sea was being split, Hashem says to Moshe, Ma Tetzakei Lai, Daber Rabbanei Yisrael V'Yiso, what are you davening? Take off your towels and fold them up and start walking. Ritzon Olamar, what does that mean to say? I mean, Moshe is saying people are praying. Don't tell them stop praying. What does that mean? Because the entire relationship that God has with the universe is according to what his creatures do and the direction that they are leaning. That that all of the avoda that you do is for God. Now, what does God need your work for? So he says God needs your work to know what he should do. It's an incredible, astounding theory. It's a chiddush. This is an incredible chiddush. Now, this gives man incredible power. But it also gives rise to the fact that man will never abuse his power in this regard. Because the power is only contained in the most positive holy acts. And by definition, positive holy acts can never be abusive. The only way that we can be abusive is by causing our own downfall. Because when we abuse the power, the talents that God gives us, so then there's going to be an equal negative reaction. So that our punishment is built in, our reward is built into our actions. It's an incredible, incredible system.
It's incredible on the negative side, because you realize the influence, the reaction, it's just to say that there is any reaction from Hashem is an incredible thing.
Not in this system, because in this system, God of the davening to the tzaddikim. Same problem, just on a higher level. Because people need to objectify. It's a very big problem. And the problem, this is what the Greeks said. I'm always saying that. That's what Cicero complained about the Jews. They are a bunch of heretics. They believe in something invisible. They have no real God. There's nobody tangible for them. They don't pray to anybody. They pray to the air.
When people brought home little dust from the coast,
now they have the Berlin Wall, they don't need that. Okay. Okay, it's an abuse. It's an abuse because people. But anyway, but we're not plain people. We understand all this. Baal pizeh yivolar pesher davar. Okay, but the other thing that he's saying, you can agree. Okay, good. Okay, I just want to go, step beyond. Baal pizeh yiv. Oh, good. Because hey, hopefully we're all thinking. Baal pizeh yivolar pesher davar. And over here we now have a good explanation of a very important matter. The inyan shinui deo shebein dolei harishonim zal. There's a tremendous controversy among the medieval philosophers. Im ha'adam is a theoretical construct. Im ha'adam mi Yisrael gadol mei ha'malach, or malach gadol mei menu. Who's greater, an angel or a Jew? Angel or a people? Who's greater, people or angels?
Greater in terms of
everything, whatever greatness means. Who is a more superior creature? And both sides of the issue are able to marshal sources to corroborate their thesis. Which happens to be another theory, just to point out again, another very, very important theory of the Chaim Balazhin in understanding Divrei Chazal. We often find amongst Divrei Chazal arguments where both sides, if taken together, are mutually exclusive. Both of them cannot be true. We often find that. Rav Chaim Balazhin maintained that that's not true. They are not arguing to the point that they are mutually exclusive. Both of them are understanding the same matter on a different dimension, on a different level of existence. Each one is describing a different vantage point. One is not talking about what the other one is talking about. They're both talking about different things, but they decide that the predominant view is to view the matter from this dimension. That is his theory. Here you have a very fine example. They are stagnant. They have achieved stasis. They're not going anywhere. They're locked. They're closed. There's no room for growth. But the prophet Zechariah, the prophet that we just read last week, he says, I also saw the vision, but I saw the vision of men walking amongst the Omdim. Men are mehalchim, men walk, men are creative, man can grow, man can change, man can become greater, man can proceed higher, he can elevate himself. Hasaga means conceptual. The rak ha'adam levad hu ha'ma'aleh v'ha'mikasheru mi'acheres ha'olamos v'aros b'kach ma'asov. Man is able to create new combinations and permutations through his scintillation of the upper worlds through his dynamic actions. Mechamashu kalul mekulam, because he is part of every one of those worlds. Similar, if you remember, just to bring it in over here, is that when Hashem created the body of Adam, so it says he was mitzaber oso mikol kanfos ha'oretz, that God gathered the dust of all the every kind of dust. Why? So Rashi brings down so that he would be able to be buried any place, and nobody, no part of, no region would say, I reject him, he's not of me. Which he's going to use later on as a metaphor for the body. got to be born to do it. You've got to live. In order to create, you've got to live. How much time left? 3 minutes? Okay, I can do it. Ukamosha Kosova Yipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chayim. Begufo Adam. God breathed the soul into man, into his body. Oz Vayihi Adam Lenefesh Chaya Shokol Ha'olamos. In other words, the entire world came alive. Vuhu Gam Kena Inyan Mara Hasulam Shayakal Avinu. And that was the vision of the ladder that Yaakov saw. Ayin Raya Mehemda Vayipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chayim De Itmar Bey Vayachalam Vinei Sulam. There's a connection in the Zohar between that phrase of breathing life into man, the soul into man, and the dream that he saw of the ladder. Why? Sulam vaday ihu nishmas chayim. Because the man's soul is a ladder. It goes all the way. It's mutzav arza. Man is down over here, but his soul, his ability goes all the way up. Magi hashamayma. The angels of God go up and down in man. Man can bring the angels down, and they can bring the angels up. Through the soul that is on the ground, which is guised, which is cloaked in the bottom. And this explains, and this is a very famous statement of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, with this concept, that it says in the Mishnah in Avos, Yofa Shoa Achas Betshuva Uvemasim Tovim Ba'olam Hazeh Mikol Chayei Olam Haba. At one period of time in this world, doing creativity, being a human being, is greater than all of the reward of the world to come. Because over there, you're only a receiver. Over there, it's stagnant. Over there, you get the dividends. Over there, you just sit. You're standing. Over here, you can grow. Over here, you can get. Famous story of the Vilna Gaon, when he was lying on his deathbed, he began to cry, and his Talmidim said, Rebbe, what are you crying? You're certainly going to go to Olam Haba. He says, do you know why I'm crying? And he held up his tzitzis. He says, over here for 3 kopecks, you can achieve greatness in all of the worlds for 3 cents. Where I'm going, for all the money in the universe, you can't do anything. So that's the idea over here. You can do everything, but you can only do it as a living creature, so that we never eschew the body, because the body is the means by doing the holiest of things, and we never denigrate the spirits, because the spirit of man is the greatest aspect which gives power and energy to the universe. Okay. Mamish. I went over. She im hema yihyu betok.